God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
We at Southwest Radio Church are so glad that you tuned in to our program. This is Pastor Larry. We want to provide you with information, understanding, and motivation that together we will effectively work for the glory of God. Communism has had great success in our modern world, but communism has been a curse. So did you ever wonder how communism has become so evidently popular? Well, here's what they did. They identified racial and class fault lines running through society. They then fanned the flames of real or perceived injustices, creating tension and unrest in society. It's called domestic unrest. The incubator of domestic unrest is left-wing news. Lots of incubators of domestic unrest in America. Television, newscasts, talk shows, sitcoms, all this left-wing nonsense that we have to listen to. David Axelrod, a political advisor in an NPR interview, said this. In Chicago, there was an old tradition of throwing a brick through your own campaign office window and then calling a press conference to say that you have been attacked. Close quotes. Joseph Stalin, a horrendous monster of barbarity and human disrespect, said this. Crises alone permitted the authorities to demand and to obtain total submission and all necessary sacrifices from its citizens. Close quotes. Look at the coronavirus pandemic and see if it fits that paradigm. I really believe it does. I'm holding in my hand one of the classic works on communism. It is titled The Naked Communist, Exposing Communism and Restoring Freedom. It is by W. Cleon Skousen. It was published in 1958, and it is right on target. Things that are happening today are not accidental. They're all written about in this book, The Naked Communist. The book is endorsed by President Ronald Reagan, Dr. Ben Carson, and many others. The new updated edition includes a chapter on the 45 communist goals, detailing how 44 of those goals have been achieved in the United States already. And we're going to be getting into that. It's amazing how W. Cleon Skousen knew all about this way back in 1958. So what we're seeing today is not accidental. Skousen's groundbreaking work provides a renewed understanding of one of the greatest threats facing America today, and I think that's very obvious. J. Edgar Hoover, first director of the FBI, said, "I feel certain that your efforts on this important subject will receive widespread attention and consideration." On the phone with me is his son, Paul Skousen, and we're going to be talking about his dad's book, The Naked Communist. Paul, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Larry. It's a delight to be with you today.
Well, tell us a little bit about your dad. I mean, I've been looking at Wikipedia and looking at the back of the book. He was certainly a scholar of history and law. He had a JD degree. But tell us about him and about what motivated him to do all the research in writing The Naked Communist.
Yeah, the origins of that actually are his personal studies of the Bible. He grew up loving that wonderful book and learned about these massive civilizations that rose and fell, these basic principles of freedom that were ever present, and then the principles of tyranny that were ever present. And as he matured and grew and got into life as an adult, he's watching these same patterns that have been around since day one for this earth, these same patterns pouring down in through different countries around the globe and then infiltrating the United States. So he had a keen interest in political science and history, and he pursued it in that direction. And as he got into law school, later joined the FBI, he found that people didn't fully understand what the enemy is doing to take away liberties and freedoms, that it was just part of the background noise that they didn't need to pay a lot of attention to.
You know, I can understand, but you're going to develop that a little bit. He certainly was concerned about our loss of liberty, our precious liberties. They're being just wiped out.
Yeah, they really were. And in subtle ways, And that's what bothered him the most. So the FBI was challenged. When he joined the FBI, he saw the Bureau was challenged with attacks on several fronts. There was an attack against the culture, people starting to lose track of the foundations that made this country great, that gave us our liberties, and attack on our economic systems where socialized ideas were being injected. So we come up with government-controlled aspects of our nation that never work. They eventually bankrupt themselves. The criminal element, where secrets, national defense issues, political choices, State Department secrets, things that we do to keep our country strong, vibrant, and safe, those are being given away. So the FBI has had a multi-front defense and offense that they were conducting. My father got into that and saw how the people, the Americans, were being led away, not knowing what was right or wrong, because their foundation of values and principles had slowly been eroded. And, you know, communism came in with such a brutal, bloodthirsty way of imposing this tyranny on entire nations. He tried to learn more about it, and he looked around. You know, there's not many books that were explaining that, and people in our government, they didn't know. So he thought, you know what, maybe let me try and pull it together and see if I can, in a single book, explain what this dark satanic force is and where it came from and what it's trying to do.
Well, he did a marvelous job. And in fact, you know, when I first got the book, I was flipping through it and I saw a reference to the Sixth Commandment. It says, "Thou shalt not kill." And of course, the sanctity of human life today is, you know, up for grabs. And on page 403, your dad writes, "The Mosaic Code made the sanctity of human life extremely important. That is why a person who believes and practices the Judeo-Christian code does not make a good communist. He will not kill on command. He cannot believe that a cause is just, which depends upon blood purges, concentration camps, and cruel exploitation of human life for its existence." That's really a gem, and there are many gems in the book.
Boy, so very true, and it helps underscore the fact that these dark ideas, these bad programs, there's nothing new to them. They've been on this planet forever, and we've had to fight them forever.
Right. Well, Paul, what I'd love you to do, and I know there's a lot of confusion here, and especially with some of the candidates that are running for president and campaigning, they're talking about the ideals of socialism, and you know, they're talking like it will create a utopia, and many of them say, well, now this is not communism, and they draw a sharp line, a sharp demarcation. Contrast socialism with communism, and when you speak about communism, when your dad speaks about communism, I'm assuming that socialism is a bad boy as well.
Oh boy, it sure is. The difference between socialism and communism is kind of like a slow landslide versus a waterfall. They both go the same direction and the same damage. Socialism is just a much slower route to the same ending place that communism seeks. And when people surrender their liberties to central government control, that central government control desires to stay in power. And under socialism, they have a dilemma. Once they're in charge, the people expect certain things. And if those things don't materialize, then what is that central power? They tax more. They take more property. They pass more laws. They begin to regulate more. And that downward spiral of increasing control and taking from the economy the fruits of people's work, that's socialism. The definition that works for me anyway, for socialism, is government force to control and change the people. So we hear a lot of other definitions. For me, that one works because it is government force. and they try to control us, and through the control, they try to change us. So every socialistic program out there, you know, the New Green Deal and even Social Security and the New Deal period, all these socialist elements are meant to control and change us. And communism does it with a gun. Socialism is a gradual, slow process. They both end up in the same place. No property, no freedom of abstract thought, such as religion or any other thing like that.
Well, I know there have been several surveys, several polls. A lot of young people say, socialism is really good. We're in favor of it. And then when the person who's doing the poll or the questioning, he says, well, let me tell you what socialism believes. And then the person will go down a list of things. And then the person who said, well, I love socialism, but I didn't think it meant that. And, you know, I've often wondered, a lot of our young people, even in college, who are supposed to be educated, they say they're socialists, but when you really tell them what socialism is all about, they say, well, I don't believe that. I think that's part and parcel due to our educational system today. I think it's really bankrupt university as well as public education.
It certainly has. I teach college right now, and I go in and I look at my students, and they have this look in their eyes of entitlement. You owe me because I'm here. And I try to illustrate, as it fits into my curriculum, I try to illustrate what a losing idea this is. And as you say, well, you know, see your cell phone right there? Could I have it? Because mine's not as nice as yours. No. And, you know, wait a minute. Do you like socialism or not? That's what it advocates.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, it used to be, I'm originally from New York City, and I'm 78 years of age, and years ago, I remember there were a lot of people who were asking for charity, they were asking for money, and they were very humble, and, you know, a lot of them were really, they really had needs. But I've noticed a lot of the people today who are begging or panhandling, it's almost like, you know, you need to give me what you got in your wallet. If you don't, you know, that's entitlement mentality. And then I remember there was a situation where there was a young man who was 17 years of age. He was going around and scratching cars with his keys, new cars. They finally caught him and he said, well, if I can't enjoy that car, neither will you be able to enjoy that car. I mean, it's like a sick insanity, really is.
Yeah. If I may share a short little story, my son-in-law, yeah, he's a physician's assistant, and he works on one of the Native American towns across the border there in Nebraska and South Dakota area. And same story, the children are raised that anything better than what they themselves get from the U.S. government must be destroyed. So in the parking lot of the medical facility, you don't bring in a new car. You bring in a very used car. You don't wear nice clothes. You wear Levi's and a T-shirt. You go out in groups because you'll get jumped or mugged because America owes them a living, and anything else beyond that is an insult. So it's ruining our culture. Perfectly wonderful, good, decent human beings being led down bad paths.
Well, your dad was on it so many times. I'm looking at page 268. He's speaking about psychological warfare, and he raises the question, what is wrong with our state of mind? And he says, first and foremost, we've been thinking the way communists want us to think. Boy, we're you know, I think American culture is so much like a puppet society.
Yeah, and we really are. The sad downside of enormous prosperity. If people don't remain aware of how we got here, then we're quickly on the path to lose it. And that culture of envy and entitlement and you owe me, in today's crisis, I don't know if you've watched, I almost hate looking at the headlines, it's so depressing, but the socialists around in government, you know, they're saying, oh, now's the time, everyone should be guaranteed an income. Everyone should be guaranteed insurance. All these things that lead to Venezuela and North Korea and all the other things where communism and socialism have done such destruction.
I know the 45 goals of communism today, I'm looking at number 26. It says, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And your dad says these 45 goals were put into print in 1961. By 1973, homosexuality was declassified as a mental disorder by the American Psychiatric Association. And of course, I know you and I, we don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate any homosexual. Now, I'm really unhappy with the homosexualization of our society and with it creeping into the curricula in many schools. I'm really unhappy with that. And I think your dad really, I'm reading the book here and say, wow, this is unbelievable. Your dad was right on the target 55, 60 years ago or more than that.
Yeah, it's shocking. Those attempts to degrade the family, which is the foundation of our nation, have been here for so long, and it's made such headway, and I'm confronted with that with where I teach. Great students who've gone down that path and don't realize the ramifications. It's a corruption of the culture, and they're a participant in that, and sometimes they just flat don't realize it. But way back then, that was obvious, you know? People understood homosexuality was you know, an issue that had to be dealt with, and today it's got to be accepted or you're labeled a hater.
Well, Paul, thank you so much. We are out of time for this show, but we're looking forward to having you back on our next show. It's been a really educational 15 minutes.
Thank you so much, Larry. I appreciate all that you're doing.
Matthew, our announcer, will come to the mic and tell our listeners how to get the Naked Communist.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the historic book titled The Naked Communist. This book literally exposes communism for what it is, one of the greatest threats facing America today. You can have a copy for a gift of $30 if you live in the United States and $50 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order anytime online on our website at swrc.com. We also have the best-selling book by Dennis Cuddy titled Conspiracy. It has been one of our most popular publications, and you can have a copy for a gift of $15. Better yet, get both books, The Naked Communist and Conspiracy, for a gift of $40. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
When the coronavirus was declared a pandemic, the so-called experts in the UK and the US were predicting that as many as 2.2 million Americans might be killed by the coronavirus. Many were very skeptical of such a large, grotesque, and horrific number and wondered if it was in any way helpful to put people in a panic mode. Those of us who raised doubts about the possible 2.2 million casualties were attacked by the left-wing media, which literally feeds on bad news that would put America in a bad light.
Recently, Dr. Anthony Fauci said he thinks it is possible that 100,000 to 200,000 Americans will succumb to this virus. Even that, however, is based on modeling. And Dr. Fauci added these words, quote, "There are things called models. And when someone creates a model, they put in various assumptions. And the model is only as good and as accurate as your assumptions. I've never seen a model of the diseases that I've dealt with where the worst-case scenario actually came out. They always overshoot," close quotes.
Yet as tragic and heartbreaking as the new figures are, they are only a fraction of what we were being told just a few weeks ago. But of course, the media has now completely forgotten the earlier 2.2 million figure and is citing the 200,000 figure as evidence of the failure of the Trump administration. And to put all of this in perspective, we need to remember the 2017-18 flu season killed 60,000 people in America. Nobody even talked about that. It was just a bad year. But the flu is the flu, and normally kills 20 to 30,000 Americans every year.
Throughout the Trump presidency, the Democratic Party and its propaganda ministry, better known as the mainstream media, have continually dragged the American people through one fabricated existential crisis after another, and every one of them turned out to be totally fake. The crises ranged from Trump treasonably colluding with Russia to steal the 2016 election, to Trump's Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh being a drunken serial gang rapist, to Trump must be impeached immediately because of a phone call, to climate change will kill us all in 12 years unless you turn the country over to us weirdos.
That's exactly what they are. And meanwhile, real crises like the opioid epidemic, teen suicide, and the flooding of America with millions of illegal aliens, including tens of thousands of violent criminals, elicited zero interest from Democrats or the elite media. In fact, their pet policies promote these genuine crises. Marvin, I think we ought to get a large ship, put all the Democrats on it, and send them off to Cuba where they can be very happy.
Yeah, we can call it the good ship Lollipop. Or better yet, we'll call that ship the Pelosi Clipper, with Captain Chuck Schumer at the helm.
In 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible reminds us that bad company corrupts good morals. Peer pressure is a powerful force. Good friends can help us stay on track for the Lord. During the coronavirus pandemic, with all the uncertainty and confusion, who are you hanging around with? There are lots of voices out there. Some of them are very negative and very bad for the soul.
There have been several experiments examining the effects of peer pressure on our choices and decision-making. People find it easier to stand for something worthwhile and true if there is someone who will stand with them.
Well, Marvin, in one revealing study, a group of 10 teenagers was told that they would be part of an experiment. They would be shown cards with lines of varying lengths on them. They were told to deliberately respond to give the wrong answer. Also, as part of the experiment, there was one boy in the group who did not know that the group was deliberately giving the wrong response.
Each card that was shown had three lines on it. One line was shorter than the other two. When the man at the front of the room asked the group to raise their hands, when he pointed to the longest line, the group responded by raising their hands when the man pointed to a shorter line. 10 boys knew what was going on, but the 11th boy, the guinea pig, reluctantly raised his hand along with the others. Even though he knew that the others were giving the wrong response, he refused to go against the group. He grudgingly raised his hand to the wrong line.
The experiment was repeated, this time with two boys who were not privy to what was going on. Two boys were much more willing to disagree with the 10 than just one boy. The experiment was repeated several times, and it was found that while people are generally reluctant to buck the crowd alone, having someone on their side made it much easier.
Pleasing our friends and getting feedback from them occupies a lot of our lives. Today, with various tools for social networking, the friendship factor is a very important part of our daily lives. The right kind of friends can be a good thing, but the wrong kind of friends can impact us adversely, possibly for years to come. With the wrong kind of friends, we might even make disastrous choices.
Well, Marvin, I like the way 1 Corinthians 15:32 and 33 is rendered in the NLT. I want to read it. And if there will be no resurrection, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Close quotes. Wow, what a timely warning. The coronavirus has some people thinking about heavenly things, and for that, I am glad. But some people have resorted to rank heathenism. Let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Friends, you don't want to run around with that crowd. They will drag you down, down, down. Be careful. Be wise. Look up. There is hope. President Ronald Reagan once said that freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. You know, Marvin, I grew up in the 1940s and 50s, and I've watched succeeding generations. We all became complacent. We gave the nation Madonna and parachute pants. Traditional American values have been in a downward spiral. But I've noticed something is happening today that's very wonderful. Maybe you've seen it too. Teenagers, both male and female, are beginning to experience a rebirth of American pride. They've been carefully assessing where our country is, and many of them don't like it. They want to see change, a positive change.
Jacob Fiesel of Bunker Hill, Indiana, is a classic example of this new kind of American patriot. The 17-year-old created a stirring piece of artwork that celebrated our nation. The artwork depicts an American flag made from more than 4,400 toy soldiers. The Kokomo Tribune reported that it took the teenager more than 56 hours of work over 11 days to complete his masterpiece.
The artwork was indeed impressive and worthy of the attention it received when his depiction of Old Glory went viral. But I was especially moved by something this young man told the local newspaper. "I did it to honor those who fight so I can make art," Fiesel said.
Fiesel understands that freedom is never free. He understands the price that must be paid to ensure our freedom, and he certainly understands why we should honor that sacrifice.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the historic book titled The Naked Communist. This book literally exposes communism for what it is, one of the greatest threats facing America today. You can have a copy for a gift of $30 if you live in the United States and $50 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order anytime online on our website at swrc.com. We also have the best-selling book by Dennis Cuddy titled Conspiracy. It has been one of our most popular publications, and you can have a copy for a gift of $15. Better yet, get both books, The Naked Communist and Conspiracy, for a gift of $40. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Thanks for being with us today. Be here tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Paul Skousen wrap up this series on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.